Hello and welcome to episode 46 of Three Peeps in the Podcast. We are on location today at my mum's in Lomond Green, Bristol, because we have a special guest on the show today. But we're going to go into that in just a second. But I'm also joined by Mike. Say hello, Mike.
Hi, Patch. Hi, Rich. And hi, unnamed person.
Can I just say, which is quite spooky, when you said episode 46.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've just turned 46. And on my phone, the battery is at 46%.
That is quite freaky.
So that's three things.
Yeah.
But yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Mike, just before we go on, hopefully you won't hear too much rattling and rustling, because Mike has once again produced four bags of pick and mix.
You're welcome.
Which, when I introduce the guest, I believe he has an opening question, a typical sort of desert island question, which is great. So the guest is Sean. Sean's my cousin from the States, the godfather of the podcast. Along with Mitch Milliron, he was responsible for the Mitchcast, which was the brainchild and the roots of this show. So say hello, Sean.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And how can we get hold of you on Twitter?
No, sadly, I gave up Twitter when we closed the show. Bittersweet.
So Sean's underscore gestalt is no more.
Yeah, no, it's dormant, currently dormant.
Okay. So we have pick and mix, as we said, and just before the show started, you were about to ask a question, and I decided to cut you in your tracks, because, you know, clearly we're not allowed to talk off air. So do you want to just pose that question now?
Sure. So I asked everybody in the room, if you're on a desert island, you're only allowed to have one confection with you, what's your confection of choice that you would pick? Not that Rich's, you know, pick and mix bag doesn't have an array of popular assortments, but everybody has their one favorite thing they would have.
Okay. So, confectionery, we're talking about sweets and or chocolate, or just sweets?
I would include chocolate in that. Let's assume that there's a refrigeration process that you'd be allowed, although I'm excluding ice cream. So let's take ice cream right off the table.
So sweets, something, chocolate?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mike? You only have to choose one.
Okay.
Don't choose mine.
I don't know why it is, but I'm glad you said about there can be a fridge, because I'm a bit funny with chocolate. When I have chocolate, certain chocolate has to be in the fridge before I eat it.
Ooh.
People get funny about that. If it's things like...
What you do.
No, but like a double-decker for me is more of a biscuit. Things like Kit Kat, it has to be cold beforehand, nice and crisp. And chocolate generally, like Cadbury chocolate. So based on that, I think I will go... I wasn't going to say Kit Kat... But I don't want us to lose the uni market, because they're made by Nestle and everyone hates Nestle.
Mm.
So I'll go for a Cadbury Twirl.
Oh, okay. Rich?
I'm going to go straight in with the Boost.
Oh.
The Boost bar is the king of chocolates.
Okay. And what makes it?
It's so many different textures in it. It's chocolate. I think it's a bit of biscuit caramel. In it, caramel. It's got all sorts in it.
And what's the middle? The center.
That's the smooth caramel.
Yeah.
It's like a mill in one.
Yeah, I do love a Boost. You've must have had a Boost.
Yeah, yeah. I have before. Yeah. Actually, I'll counter your original argument, and I will go with the Kit Kat. Yeah. Although, when I was a kid, every time we'd go on a family trip, my parents would always eat Kit Kat, and I thought that's the most boring possible chocolate you could have. But that would be what I would have.
Four fingers or two fingers? Or chunky?
Ooh, that was my nickname in high school.
Or dark.
Four fingers, two fingers, or chunky.
To which the answer is yes, please.
Or is it dark, mint, or peanut butter?
Also, other nicknames I had, sadly, in high school. But no, I'd say the classic four-finger milk chocolate square size bar.
Of course, there's a classic Kit Kat joke based on that, isn't there?
Like, is there?
What's the difference between a Kit Kat and Jordan?
Oh,
you only get four fingers in a Kit Kat.
Or Katie Price, but you would know who Jordan or Katie Price were.
I do know Katie Price's, but I don't know.
Oh, okay. Right. Same person.
I know we'll come back to Patch in a minute. Do you agree with my thing about chocolate having to be refrigerated?
I'm fascinated, because I'll also say in the States they sell like certain things people actually kind of chocolate people only want out of the freezer. Uh-huh. So you go beyond just refrigeration up to there's a called a thin mint cookie that people then like out of the freezer, because I don't know if it makes for some reason that's what everybody likes in the freezer. But the refrigerating is a fascinating. Is that because you don't like to be on the clock around it melting in your finger, or it makes it crisp, or the taste?
I would say an Easter egg. It's good from the fridge.
Yeah, I always...
It's the snap.
That's what chocolate is made. It's tempered. I mean, not all of it, but definitely Easter egg. And I just like the snap of it. I don't like melty chocolate in my hands.
Right. No,
I get a lot of people think I'm quite odd because of that, but I've
I think you're a thought leader. Yeah. There's a difference between that saying the and plus if it's not room temperature, you're not going to lose any of the chocolate on the wrapper.
Exactly. Yeah. Waste.
Yeah, that's right. You know what that. All right, Mitt.
Well,
Matt,
so you want me to call me Mitch then? Interesting.
No, yeah.
It's flashbacks. Well, just to be different, because I love dairy milk. So if I was going to choose a chocolate bar, it would be a plain dairy milk. But just to be different, I'm going to go, because we're playing with pick and mix now, my favourite pick and mix item is a fizzy cola bottle.
Ooh. Oh, see, now I don't like fizzy cola bottles.
Well, give me yours then. But let's assume that my teeth would never rot in that equation, because I think they clearly would.
Pick a mix then, we can join in. I go for little mushrooms, I think. The soft mushroom, those pink ones. Foamy mushrooms, yeah. Yeah.
Or a flump.
Favourite sweet. Weep. Gummy bread.
I'm more chocolate than anything, than any sugar confection.
Basically, Mike, he hates your pick and mix.
No, I picked all the chocolate out.
Right.
Now I'm willing to make some trades.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so Sean is over on a week's visit from Portland, Oregon. And we usually start the show with what we've been up to. But Sean, obviously you've been fairly busy in the past few days, seeing things that you've mostly seen before, but a few new things. Do you want to just tell us what an American that comes to town who is essentially from this country would do with this week?
All right. Well, I'm here to celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary. So what a better way to celebrate your 25th wedding anniversary than to leave your wife alone and spend an evening with the guys talking on a podcast? Well, we spent an extensive amount of time in the Cotswolds, which I had never been to before.
Ah, there you go.
And revisited Bath, where I was born, and which we always like to do, and we do this, and my wife loves to go there. But I had never been up to the Cotswolds up through there, and we went to Burton-on-the-Water and Stow-on-the-Wold. Correct. Whatever in the world the Wold is, that's where it was. It was on one of those.
What does on-the-wold mean? Do you know?
I'm assuming on-the-water would be my guess.
Does Wold mean water then?
I don't know.
Maybe in Wold times.
And then I'd say the other thing that really worked out well was we went to, I look right now here, Tortworth Place.
Court.
Right? Court, whatever. It was very memorable, although I can't remember. I don't know if you guys have ever been up there.
I can't say I've ever heard of it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, just off of, so it's just off of the M5 Dursley turn-in over the motorway, about a mile. Yeah. And I think I've noted it on the show before, but Tortworth Court Hotel, Sunday lunch, four courses for £15. And kids under 5 eat free, so you do the math.
So what's that? I've got any kids under 5.
is that a starter, soup, fish dish, a meat dish, and a dessert?
No. Soup side of the buffet cart, salad side of the buffet cart, then Sunday lunch buffet, and then a selection of desserts
to
choose from. So I thought was really good value.
Yeah. No, it was fair, and the grounds are beautiful. Yeah. You can walk the grounds regardless. Course. But the grounds were fantastic.
Especially on the day we went.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was sunny. Plenty of picture opportunities, etc. Obviously, the day before, Saturday, was probably the highlight for you, wasn't it? The afternoon that you spent?
Yeah, we went to Ashton Gate and saw Bristol City emerge triumphant against Barnsley.
Yep.
Barnsley, yeah. A game of two halves. Exactly. It was, they were terrible in the first half, and Patch and I sat on the other side, and that made all the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We moved sides because we were in the Dolman stand, and quite frankly, the leg room is poor. So we were uncomfortable, and I usually sit in the Lansdowne stand now anyway. So yeah, it was when we moved across that... Our fortunes changed. Just before the game as well, I took Sean into the Cooper's Arms, which he was quite impressed with.
Well, this is where it gets uncomfortable for me. As I walked in, and people can sense fear, the fact that I was sobbing uncontrollably and holding onto his shirt so that nobody hurt me kind of gave away the fact that I wasn't one of the guys.
Local.
It's all home fans there, isn't it?
So. Yeah. So it's all home fans.
It's on the main road along
opposite the park. Opposite the park.
Is it next to BS3?
What's the pub?
What's the pub called on the Rose and Sun?
One of the banks outside. Jesus and an England kit. England kit? A city kit, maybe.
Hopefully, yeah.
I was completely frightened because there was a sign outside that said, home fans only.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wearing any, you know, so I thought they just would pounce on me the moment I came in the door.
Original shirt.
And so, yeah, so I just, crying and holding on to Patrick was kind of my two defenses.
Okay, so Cotswolds and Bristol City, particular highlights, and obviously seeing your family.
Yep, mix that in there.
But also, after the Bristol City match, quick shout out to our friends at Ice Cream Tacos, who visited my mother's, and we had, I think there was 10 of us, all in all. So I think we had around 20 tacos off of him and some chicken wings. So thanks to Mark at Ice Cream Tacos. Check out our Facebook page for how you can order that. And also we've got the Three Peeps Sampler Special still available, which is 4 tacos for £8. So yeah. And Sean, did you want to just say how much you enjoyed those?
Very much so. They were, and I particularly like the, you guys heard the musical, the music they play, the mariachi band music from the truck, I think it was great. And, you know, they drive right up into the driveway, so hard to beat. And I'll say I grew up, you know, within the shadow of the Mexican border, so I definitely know my tacos. And, no, it was fantastic.
Right.
Cool. Okay. Mike and Rich.
I will be getting in touch at some point.
Yeah.
I saw it go past. I assumed it was you. So I didn't think they came out this way this far. But.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because Thursday night when they arrived, obviously the first thing we always do when our cousins from America come to town is go to Crispy's or Old Fields. Sean's a particular favourite of the battered sausage. I believe you had that again last night, didn't you?
Several times. Yeah. Jumbo or... Pardon?
There was, no, there was.
Well, it was cold outside. So, give me, you know, in my defense, it was cold.
The only ones they seem to have when we went there the past few times is the normal sized ones, which is unfortunate.
They don't do jumbo batter sausages, do they?
Do they? I know they do the jumbo sausage.
I thought we get batter sausage and then you get a jumbo sausage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unsheathed.
But I'm with you because I think they should be expanding the menu and adding that
super size.
Yeah. And your wife Sherry has been enjoying a range of pies and pasties as well.
Yeah,
because that's a
big fan of the steak and kidney pie. So we've kind of been all over the countryside finding different places. So no, luckily for me, I like coming back to visit. But she'd never been to England before we got married, and she loves it over here.
Mm. Yeah, and it's particularly the older stuff, isn't it? Because in the States, you know, there's not much more than 100 years old or whatever. So yeah, she likes to see the countryside, and we had to pull over and take a few pictures of fields and things, which is great.
Can you take them to Pyminster for, is it Pyminster or Prime Minister?
So no, they're actually going home tomorrow. But we found plenty of pies.
Yeah.
So next time Pyminster will be on the list.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike and Rich. Anything you want to bring to our attention of what you've been up to?
Should I go first?
Yeah.
Back in...
the summer of 69?
Yeah, when was it? So it must have been mid-March. Went to Cardiff to watch the Premiership Darts.
Yeah.
Our annual visit from work. Mm-hmm. This year we're dressed up as 70s cops. So kind of Life on Mars characters.
Oh,
yeah. Like Sabotage video, mm-hmm. Beastie Boys, that kind of look. That was a great night. Never a successful night out.
Mm-hmm.
Watched Kasabian at Newport Centre last Saturday. Brilliant. You know, friend of the show, Ian Matthews.
Yeah.
Be on soon again, won't he? I think is he due in May?
Yeah, he's going to come on in May.
Obviously, a new album coming out soon.
New sound as well. What do you mean?
New sound? I like the new. Yeah, as a grower.
I like the two songs they've released.
I wasn't struck with it first time, but then, once I saw it live again.
What's their new album's called? Are You Feeling Good or something? Is it I Feel Good?
Got on the spot there, innit?
One of the songs is You're in Love, I'm in Love with a Psycho.
Crying
Your Eyes Out, is that it?
Crying Out Loud,
because it's got their roadie on the cover, anyway.
But it's a small venue, so it's quite a nice, intimate gig again. So I prefer a gig where I can actually...
Went live a few times, didn't you?
We actually sat down as well. We usually kind of go in the mosh pit, but this time we sat down, because it's such a small venue, you weren't too far away when you're in the seats.
That's the Newport Leisure Centre.
Yeah, and it allowed you just to watch, rather than trying to look over the tall bloke who always gets in the way, or...
Me. Yeah.
People who raise their phones up above their heads so you can't even see it anyway.
Everyone's filming it, I'm sure.
So that was a great gig. What else did I do, Patch? Went to Breen for Cara's birthday. It was Cara's birthday on Sunday. and she wanted to go to Breen on Saturday, so I missed the city game, unfortunately, but we had a day at the Breen Pleasure Park.
Nice.
Quite a few weirdos there, to be honest. He does, yeah, Six Fingers from Birmingham. And then, but yeah, that's what I've been up to, really.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah. All right. Mike, been up to much?
On
a tour of Anfield, didn't you, or something?
I did. Went to Liverpool for a few days with my two friends and the two boys. Yeah, went up on a Tuesday, did Anfield.
Your godchild.
Godchild and his brother, but yeah, basically my kids. It was fine. The closest I got the kids. So we went up and did the tour on a Tuesday afternoon. And it was not annoying.
Is that reasonably priced?
About 15 for adults and I think 11 for kids, which is quite expensive. But you get a family ticket, £48 for two adults and two kids. And we got there and we did a 2 o'clock tour, and the two tour guides said that they'd been inside and Jurgen Klopp was in the stadium.
Oh, wow.
He was showing his mum around around Anfield. So he said there's a chance we might see him.
Did
but
she get charged? Or?
I think she gets concession or something, gets a discount. Because you went in the new, because they got the new stand, haven't they? The main stand, the one they've done up. So you go in there, and it's a lot of it is basically it's in that end, that side. So you see the new, you got the director's lounge and the executive lounge where all the Liverpool fans, like Daniel Craig, who I didn't know was born in Liverpool. I know he's a Liverpool fan. Yeah. Doesn't sound Scouse, but
James Bond fan.
He's a Star Wars fan.
Oh yeah,
it was a stormtrooper, wasn't he? As a special.
Yeah.
So did the tour and then. Well, after that, the kids wanted to buy loads of stuff in the shop, so we spent time there and then went to Goodison. Sadly, we couldn't do a tour. We just sort of walked around it, took a few snaps, and then back to
cheating on Liverpool.
Well, it was a bit scummy around Goodison. I mean, not to say that because I'm a Liverpool fan, but... And then Wednesday, just basically had one day to look at Anfield. Because I've been to Liverpool, I don't know, maybe 40 times to watch a football.
40?
Well, in my teen years, I went a lot, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's since I was 10, I'm saying I'm 50. Liverpool, it's a big city, but there's not much to see, I didn't think. Yeah. You've got all the, if you want to do the Beatles stuff, you can do it all.
You did
the Cavern Club, yeah.
The two churches, didn't you?
Yeah, it was sort of a main one.
It was like a fun one, didn't it?
You've got the modern one, which is kind of like a white building, and Mum says it looks like a wigwam.
I feel like a fun one upside down.
Yeah, didn't see that one. We went to the other one, the Anglican one, which is... The biggest cathedral in Europe, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
That was good. And then went down to the docks. Albert Docks is not much to see down there, really.
Is the floating map still there, or has that been...
Didn't see it, yeah. That's what we wanted to see.
Yeah, but he's put in prison, wasn't he, so he can't still have it.
Oh, is he one of those, is he?
Yeah.
And then went down to... got the Liver building, just a snap of that. We went to the Cavern Club, and had a drink, listened to some music.
Excellent.
Why didn't you do the... Because when I went there back in 1994, when you beat Liverpool in the FA Cup...
Yeah,
or no.
I'd done the Beatles tour, and that was good.
Well...
And it took you to, obviously, Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, like, I mean, I might have done it on my own, but obviously we had the two kids, and it's what they want to do, and they don't want to... Mm. To be honest, by the time we left the hotel, they're already asking what time we're going to go back to the hotel. They're obsessed with the hotel. Yeah. They love the bed and everything. But it was actually the third time I've done the tour. It's the first one I did it. I know I'm a fake fan, but I did
I'm
it.
I'm a chair fan.
That's it. 1994, when the old cop was there, before when it was still standing.
Yeah.
So I stood on the old cop, did that, and then I did it, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And then I suppose now it makes sense. Now you've got a new stand, so I've just seen every time. The only thing I didn't do this time, you couldn't go in the changing rooms, because the changing rooms have only been... open to the players for 1 week.
Oh, right.
They've been, used to, we were getting changed in like some porter cabin before that. Right. But it was a good few days away and been quiet since then.
So the stand they did it up was the stand you can't see on Match of the Day?
It's the stand, the stand they film from, the main stand.
Yeah. Want to show it off, you should swap ends.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we've been up to. I think I've just done a few bits and pieces, but we spoke most about those when we had our bit with Sean. So basically we've got Sean here, and as I say, Sean was part of the Mitch cast going back, and which I think is still readily available on iTunes. So that was a great show, and Mitch will bring it back one day, I'm sure, and alongside Sean. So Sean is a movie buff, a bit like myself, and Sean was telling us what films he's looking forward to this year. So I wonder if you want to just go through those, Sean, and tell us what films you're looking forward to this year.
Sure. Well, I've prided myself on not having seen Fast and the Furious 8 yet. I'm saving myself for that. I would say Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 comes out, I think, in 2 weeks here, and an extra week later. Don't get me started on why you get movies earlier than we do.
It's about time, because going back many years ago, we would be a month or so behind, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
and they always seem to come out on DVD before in America.
Well, in two years, they're going to open up in China probably 6 months before they open here, because that seems to be the big deal. I know Dunkirk is going to be supposed to be really good, that Christopher Nolan is bringing out. Mm-hmm. Justice League is coming out in the fall. Actually, I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer yet for the third Thor film, Thor Ragnarok, which is coming out in November as well. That trailer looks really good. So those are the ones that that kind of jump out at me, all the big summer blockbuster movies that come out. I actually be interested to see the Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie comes out in a couple of weeks.
I didn't realize that was Guy Ritchie.
I love his Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes films. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be interesting to see how that how that plays out.
Great. Seen any films lately, Mike?
I think the last film I saw was it Ghost in the Shell?
Scarlett Johansson.
The one that looks like...
Now, did you see the movie, or did you see Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Which
saw a lot of scenes when she was running away. it's okay. I mean, I've not seen the original... Was the original an anime film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit... From the trailer, it seemed a bit too much like Lucy to me.
Yeah.
I think it's the same person.
They kind of sell it like that. They always refer to that film when they mention it. It was enjoyable. I mean, I didn't know anything of the original, but to be fair, it was on a Monday, and the films are £4 each on a Monday, so...
You literally would watch anything?
No, I haven't seen Boss... I haven't seen Boss Baby, you told me not to.
There you go.
Yeah, but
there's nothing on at the moment,
I was saying to Sean that, I would happily spend the whole day and watch, like, four or five cinema films, not really caring too much what they were, but you were saying you did that one day.
Yeah, I did. When I was working in Chicago, I ended up there one time. I was working over the weekend and ended up having to stay inside and watch five films, and it was fantastic. But now, have you guys had John Wick 2 here yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, and did you guys...
I haven't watched it.
If you enjoy John Wick 1...
Which I haven't seen yet, so I need to see that first.
See why. But if you enjoy John Wick 1, mm-hmm. you'll enjoy John Wick 2 even more. I liked 1 and loved 2.
Yeah, I was a big fan of 1. I think we chose to watch Logan in our monthly visit to the cinema instead, so unfortunately I haven't seen that one yet, but it will be available, I'm sure, very soon. Rich,
I saw Smurfs the Lost Village.
Tell us more.
I fell asleep. I took my daughter, it was her birthday on Sunday, like I said, and she wanted to go and watch Smurfs the Lost Village. It's all animated this time.
Yeah.
Not like the previous two that obviously had a mixed thing. Mm. It was good. It's a good story. They find a village of female Smurfs.
Oh. It rated?
It must be a PG, surely.
Were they? I don't know. You fell asleep.
They found a village. It's an 18 male.
But they're in the Forbidden Forest.
Okay.
All
right.
Got a question for Sean then about films. Almost forgot it then. You like good films, so have you watched
Connor?
Have you watched Ghostbusters 2016?
I own a copy of Ghostbusters 2016, but I have not watched it because I have kids, and my 10-year-old one day said he really wanted to watch it, so I bought it for him.
But you'll never
watch and I have not watched it. But I think I saw probably the 2 minutes that Bill Murray was in it, and that was about it. But I didn't have enough. And I'll say I saw a couple of the scenes with Chris Hemsworth, which I thought he was funny. Mm. But when you already own a movie and you're not willing to sit down to watch it, that was
speaks,
not.
Speaks volumes.
And I'll say I was a senior in high school in 1984. When the first Ghostbuster movie, and I never saw Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 1 is about as good a comedy movie as you're going to make. So, that's sacred ground for me.
You've never seen Ghostbusters 2?
No.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know if you guys know, when Dan Aykroyd wrote Ghostbusters, instead of Bill Murray, it was supposed to be John Belushi, but John Belushi had passed away. Yeah. It seems like it would be a totally different movie with those guys in it. But
definitely.
And the young Sigourney Weaver.
Mm.
What do you make generally of film remakes then? Which ones do you think are good? Remakes, not sequels, remakes. Because there's quite a few coming out and a few in the pipeline, and I'm not a fan generally of them because I think
they just... But they weren't a remake, was it? It's just a... A reboot, they call it.
It's just there's no need, I mean, a reboot
with a twist, basically.
Surely the kids would enjoy the original from 1984. I mean, yeah. I know it's not as flashy and the CGI, but it's for film.
It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Although the other side of that coin is Rogue One, which is really not a remake of New Hope, but very similar and actually kind of, for me, enhances the story of New Hope.
Yeah.
So there's kind of that delicate balance. But you know, most remake movies I have not liked better than the original.
Can anyone think of a remake movie that was as good slash better than the original?
Well, I'll start with one. Magnificent Seven, which is a remake of a 60s Western, which I loved the original. But I'll admit, after I watched the Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt version, went back and watched the original, it's pretty slow. Like, you know, you think, oh, this was a great classic movie, and then you rewatched it going, boy, not as much going on in this movie as, you know, so the different version.
Right. Magnificent Seven, wasn't that a Japanese film in the first place? Right?
Yeah, Seven Samurai by Akira Kurosawa. So, it's kind of take the same story and remake it. So it's a question of how many movies are remakes of another movie.
I can think of a rebrand. The new Planet of the Apes.
We were just talking about that earlier, the 70s ones.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. And I was saying to Sean that I'm really looking forward to the War of the Planet of the Apes.
War for the Planet of the Apes,
which is coming out, I think, this year. But I thought the first two were absolutely sensational. And the old ones, and there was another remake with Mark Wahlberg,
around 2000,
which was pretty poor. And this just, you know, I said this about the Logan film. I thought the most recent Planet of the Apes films were almost believable, in terms of, you know, the way they built it up.
Copy the 70s versions of growing up in a spaceship landing, which is really back on Earth, but
it started out as, you know, basically he was a pet more or less, and they did these tests to help out his dad and all that sort of stuff. No spoilers. Very good example. Can you think of any others?
I can think of another question, but... it's a question which I've asked before, and I think I don't think of possible films before asking this question. I make a statement, which, for me, apart from Terminator 2, I don't think sequels are any good. I don't like sequels.
Okay.
Rocky 4.
Right, you mean Rocky 3? Because Rocky 4 is terrible. See, the interesting thing, the Rocky spectrum, you can tell based on how old you are when you see it.
I thought Rocky 4 was good. Because
Rocky 3 was fantastic, but then by the time Rocky 4 came out, I was too old and it was ridiculous.
I've never seen Rocky 5 or...
Yeah, after, because everybody, you go through that age. But I would say Aliens, which is a different type of movie than Alien, because Alien is kind of a horror movie, and Aliens is more of an action movie. But I do think Terminator 2 is fantastic. Oh, but other people might say Dark Knight, whereas I love Batman Begins. Clearly, you know, they won Academy Awards, did a lot more box office. Yeah. People think Dark Knight is better than Batman Begins.
Yeah, no, I would probably say that myself. The only one I can think of is Empire Strikes Back.
That's the standard.
But all the Star Wars films, so it's a good trilogy. Not so much the first three that came out later, but the original three, 4, 5, and 6. I'd say that they were all equally as good for me.
Yeah, and John Wick 2, I think, was better. Because in a good storyline where you've established the characters and you've kind of built the world, a second movie can kind of move forward quickly if you've got a good story to tell.
I get chills about saying that.
Trainspotting 2.
That was
on par, I think.
And Police Academy with age gets better.
Okay, all right. Rich, have you got a rant lined up for us this week?
I'm in a good mood at the minute.
All right. We'll talk about... let's talk about... Sean, question for you. What is your favourite cover of an original song?
Oh, a remake of an original... Well, and I'll say...
This is purely to get Rich in the mood for a rant.
Okay, because I'll tell you... Actually, this is a really big deal for me, because... I used to love, one of my all-time favorite songs was Bobby Darin, Mack the Knife. I just thought it's a great song. It's the kind of thing people, you know, most people, everybody knows it, but nobody would pick of that as their favorite song. And I was absolutely disgusted to find out that was a cover. and that Louis Armstrong had done Mack the Knife like 10 years earlier, and we went to that kind of black music, white music thing because Little Richard, you guys remember the song Tutti Frutti that he did that they wouldn't play on the air, and then Pat Boone did a cover of it, which was the most watered down piece of garbage that then went to number one because a white person sang it, and so it's really the same. I didn't know Louis Armstrong did Mack the Knife, and so on the other end where I hate the cover of that song version because I thought that was an original by Bobby Darin and it was not.
Okay.
So for those of you who are over 70 out there, you probably share my rage.
But the thing with you, Patch, is when you don't even know it's a cover. It's when I have to educate say that was actually done by
this. This leads me to another conversation. We were listening to Heart FM, and what should come on the radio other than Red Red Wine by UB40?
Which is an old diamond.
Which is a Neil Diamond song, which I didn't
believe. Everybody other than Patrick didn't know.
Neil Diamond wrote so many songs that you probably know. He wrote Daydream, Believe It. He wrote a lot of the Monkey songs, didn't he?
Yeah.
Neil Diamond didn't.
But we then went on Apple Music and found the original, but I did prefer the UB40 version.
I'm not saying there's versions of Beatles songs like Joe Cocker's version of Little Help My Friends, Shirley Bass's Something. There are better versions of originals, but it's when you don't know it's a cover.
Yeah, I was going to say one of my favourite covers is Comfortably Numb by Limp Bizkit.
What's that one you did?
Behind Blue Eyes.
Behind Blue Eyes by somebody else.
I thought you were edging towards X Factor with this because they all do cover versions.
Yeah, Behind Blue Eyes by Limp Bizkit. That was what I actually meant. I was just plucking out of the air something to rate enrage.
Because what I think is when all these X Factors lot gets number one with a cover, it should say this is so and so with so and so originally done by they should tell you they should tell these young kids that it has been originally done by somebody else.
Would you start watching the X Factor if that was the case?
I wouldn't watch it if it was literally the only channel you could get and it was filmed in my front garden.
Right. Now, am I the only person that when that happens I wonder how much money does the person who owns the original song get when somebody writes a cover and that becomes a hit?
I reckon they seem, for X Factor in the UK, they seem to have almost like a catalogue of songs that they can use, because they get used over and over again. Bridge Over Troubled Water is every year. Something along those lines. There's always like a Disney song is the song winner's song. Who's the climb?
Is that an agreement?
I don't know. I don't know.
But how much do people get if song is played on the TV show, like royalties? Even something like Spandau Ballet. They were on Celebrity Juicy, which is irrelevant, but they always do the same thing with Spandau Ballet. They always just play the word gold. They didn't play the whole song. They just play gold. Do they get money just for that word? Yeah. I mean, it's part of a song.
Well, it's like when the Olympics was on, right? When they had the Olympics on.
Yeah.
I think if they don't, they certainly would make some money from downloads. Because when you hear that song, even if it's on the X Factor, I haven't heard that for a while. I'll download the original version.
I wonder if people can make a living. I know
they can. Because
George Michael made an awful lot of money. He agreed that a certain percentage of that money would go to, what's his name, Andrew Ridley?
What do you mean, what's his name? Andrew Ridley is the other member of, exactly, the man behind the scenes.
Well, George Michael wrote Careless Whisper and put Ridley's name to it as well,
because
we knew he'd get money out of it.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, people like Thingy from Slade, Nolly Holder, they make so much money from Christmas every songs. Christmas, like Roy Wood from Wizard.
Guaranteed
things
to be played, isn't it?
Loads of money from that. They are living life off that, basically.
What about,
because I don't know if you knew for 4 years.
Yeah. I'm sure this is a no, but if you as a DJ, as a disco DJ at a wedding, if you play a song, you don't pay money to play those songs.
No, but performance rights at PRS. So basically, there's money that goes to this split between the pot of different artists and things. So they've got a PRS certificate or something. But yeah, no, I think if it's on the radio or TV, I'm pretty sure there's royalties.
But on podcasts.
We'll find out.
Well, someone told us once.
Coming up, Careless Whisper by George Michael.
As long as we don't make money out of this podcast.
It's an enrichment concept of getting, they get a percentage of everything you make, which is if you're not making anything
other than pure enjoyment.
Exactly. And I think I read somewhere that you can use, was it 45 seconds or 30 seconds of a song?
Shorter,
It may even be 15 seconds you can use without any risk of any problems.
Yeah. Let's test that out.
But for example, we've got Silhouette Showgirls is our theme music, which is a work colleagues band. No, this is going to sound wrong. I was going to say no longer with us, but the band's disbanded.
He's still alive.
Are they on a break or
creative
differences?
Yeah, the lead singer now lives in New Zealand, so they'd have to get together via FaceTime or something to make it work.
Of course, did you see who announced their doing a tour now?
Steps?
Nope. Bananarama. Oh,
right. Long overdue.
Made from Bristol.
Bristol, yeah.
Bangers.
What have I been? Siobhan Fahey, who done Shakespeare's Sister, she isn't from.
Is she the evil one in the Stay video, or is she the nice one?
The evil one.
Okay.
Cool. She was married to Dave Stewart from Eurythmics.
Oh, man.
Cruel summer.
Who was married to Annie Lennox at one point.
Was
in
he?
Time. Yeah, I think they were married.
Well, when they were in The Tourists.
Yeah.
Why?
It's an education, isn't it?
Annie Lennox song, it's fine.
Rich, ready to give us your rant yet?
Yeah.
Come on,
then. My rant is, basically, we've had it around here quite locally, down by the Butcher's Arms, and now down by... Was it Moorcroft Drive? When they do roadworks in the same area at the same time. So you think, oh, I'll go that route because I missed that bit of roadworks, but they're doing something else there as well.
Mm.
So it just causes traffic. I really think Bristol sometimes want to cause traffic to get people on over the public services or just to wind people up.
Tactical
road traffic. Yeah. And it's usually in the holidays, isn't it? Because they think kids aren't going to school, so it makes it even worse. So
yeah.
People doing, it just annoys me when they do roadworks in the same area at the same time.
So,
and today, nothing's even happening. I drove past earlier, and there was a workman there, and I said, nothing's even changing the week, mate. What are you doing? He was still by his car, just on his phone.
Well, you think it's like a bar when they keep people lined up outside to kind of keep demand?
Yeah.
They want to say, everybody wants to be in Bristol because look at all the people that are lined up in traffic. Yeah.
What about any referees, Rich? Do you want to put any referees in in your rant box?
Or the cheat from last night. Yeah, I got sent off last night playing five-a-side.
Rich got sent off, everybody.
Was it for dissent?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I called him a cheat. Because basically, three times that one game, you got some wooden boards, haven't you?
Yeah.
Kind of what, at my chest height, so to say?
Yeah, my waist.
And if it goes above that, it's deemed above head height, so it's obviously a free kick. The board literally bounced, I think, out to my knee, and he blew for a head height, so that's my first kind of get your eyes sorted out, ref.
Yeah.
And then, Scotty got taken out, no free kick, they scored the other end.
Yeah.
And then, the ball was going towards our goal area, and obviously the keeper can't come out, so he can't come and claim it. I went to run past the referee, and he literally turned into me, and clotheslined me, basically.
He's quite a large gentleman, too.
Big lad, anyway. I couldn't fit any other gap.
Yeah.
So Rich, I just called him a cheat.
Unleashed a torrent of abuse.
I just said, you've been cheating all game, and he took offence to that.
Yeah.
He said, don't ever call me a cheat.
Sent him off.
And I just walked off.
Okay. So that was Rich's rant. Mike, have you got any other? So when I was on the Mitch cast 5 or 6 years ago, there was sort of some comparisons of Americanisms versus Britishisms.
Yeah.
You got any questions that you want to pose in terms of challenging the status quo?
I don't know, I did some of this last time, didn't I? I don't know.
On the Skype one.
I don't know, I was going to say things like the word herbs. Americans pronounce it herb.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm not having a go at you, that's how you're told to pronounce it. But there's clearly an H, so if you don't pronounce it house, you pronounce it house.
Yeah.
So that's one that gets me, and obviously aluminum. But
Any comeback on the herb?
No, I'm equally perplexed, because I'd say, we talk about if you get like something that would kill weed, like a herbicide, we'd say herb, or the study of herbs is herbology. So it's like, I don't know why in the world it's not. In fact, even the fine band of the 70s, Peaches and Herb, we don't say Peaches and Herb. So I have no idea why it was why that ever happened. We're a lazy people. So if we can, if we can cut out a letter, we will.
I think the one for me is caramel and caramel.
Caramel.
Is it spelled caramel or is it spelled caramel?
Is it spelled caramel?
I think actually we've morphed it enough to now we spell it caramel because that's the way we say it.
Yeah.
Because that's a name.
Aluminum is spelled aluminum. You miss out the I, don't you? So it's not aluminium. You're not mispronouncing it. I think you spell it differently, don't you?
I think you're just trying to start a controversy.
Or, as I would say, controversy. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break there, and when we come back, we will have our world-famous Room of Doom jingle. But just before we take a small break, just a reminder to like us on Facebook, Three Peeps in a Podcast, spelled P-E-A-P-S, Twitter, @3PIAPC, same on Instagram, And don't forget to check out our most recent episode with Gareth Chilcott, the Bristol, sorry, the Bristol-born,
Bristol
City fan, but played for Bath Rugby and England Rugby and the British Lions. That's going down really well. So, guys, check that out, and we'll be back with Rumour Doom.
Catch Rich and Mike in the tiny room. Tell us what's in your room of doom.
So we're back on Three Peeps in a Podcast. There's an interesting discussion going on at the moment here. Someone pointed out, I'm not sure who it was Michael Rich, said that Scarlett Johansson had appeared naked in a film. So the last 5 minutes have been spent rapidly searching for that film. Rich, do we have an answer yet?
Not yet.
Okay, but we've got an image.
Got plenty of pictures, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's obviously a lot of fake pictures that are just...
All right.
Legs akimbo.
Okay, right, so we're back with Room of Doom. I'm going to let Sean go first as the guest. So the format of this is we each put an idea forward, very much like Room 101 for those of you who have seen that. But we call it the Room of Doom because it's our thing. So yeah, we each put something forward and then we each vote on one, obviously not our own. So Sean, do you want to put your first one forward?
Sure. Mine's relatively fresh in my mind. So I don't know if you guys have had this happen recently, but I have never in my life been on board a commercial airline where they have successfully and efficiently gotten people on board the plane. You would think a three-year-old could figure out how to load people from the back of the plane forward, but every time I get on a plane, between the nine different zones that they try to load, inevitably, someone that's getting on board is in the first five rows and has a line of 50 people waiting behind to try to get... I mean, it staggers me to think how in the world can an airline not figure out how to get people on a plane quicker.
But don't they just on United Airlines just drag you off at the end of it?
Yeah, if you're lucky, you get to stay on board. But it just seems like, because you'll stand there in line and you're kind of, I'll be row 30 and there's somebody in row 15 trying to put their bag up above and you try to be nice about it, but there's another 100 people behind you and all everybody wants to do is just get on board and get off. I don't understand. I mean, there are literally millions and millions of dollars getting spent.
So did you say fill up from the back and just work forwards? Like, say people rose, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, how, I mean,
the opposite, I think, didn't they?
It sure seems that way.
Well, it's free for, isn't it? People just walk on and willy and nilly, don't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially on some flights where there's no reserve seating, that's even more of a problem. Some EasyJet flights are a bit like that.
No, EasyJet, you can't.
Which one is it? There's
don't know, EasyJet now is you get your ticket first. You don't. It's not like a bus, you just get on.
Yeah, but so you're flying tomorrow, so let's just hope that it gets sorted by tomorrow.
It will not, because it never has been before, and I'm sure there's somebody, you know, with an abacus who can explain why their way is the best, but practical application of it, inevitably, there's a line of 100 people waiting behind one person in the middle row somewhere who's blocking the back half of the plane.
Okay. All right, okay. Rich, do you want to go next?
Well, I just thought of this. I didn't have one until now, but this is based also on... when I went to Bryn and also what Sean just said then about airplanes, is impatient people. I'm impatient in traffic, things like that, but it's when people are given an instruction, when you land, please wait until we've stopped before you take your seatbelts off. The first thing you hear is the seatbelts. And it happened on a ride in Bryn. It comes to a stop, it's when these ones just sweep around, around.
Yeah.
And the speaker says, do not touch your safety belt, the bloke running the ride will come along and do it. And all you see is people just do it and hop off. Mm. So it's just people don't follow instructions, but they're so impatient that they're going to miss out on something. I mean, that plane can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere because you need the steps to arrive, things like that. So why people just for the rush to get their seatbelt?
Okay.
And not even, when they've been told literally seconds before.
Okay. So
it's impatient people. That's it.
Impatient people on an aircraft waiting to get off.
Okay. So people just can't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
Mike, have you got anything aircraft-based?
No, mine's cold hand dryers.
Okay.
You wash your hands. Well, you did ineffective ones, didn't you? You did like...
Well, ones where you might as well put your hand out the window.
Yeah, it's similar. I knew you'd mention this. Got a good memory, you have.
for my
You're
age.
Recycling.
Yeah. But, I mean, you wash your hands and normally the water's cold as well. Mm. But then you go to the dryer. I mean, if it's a Dyson, you should be okay, decent ones. But if it's not...
Everyone's are available,
yeah. Made by Warner, I believe.
Warner and Howard.
Yeah. You put it underneath. I mean, yeah, sometimes it's really slow. But if it's cold, your wet hand is not going to get dry, is it? It's just going to slowly turn to ice. It's just it's stupid. You might as well.
It's going to disperse the water.
That's meant to be the most effective way of drying your hands.
Yeah.
You might as well just do away with that and just have paper and nothing else. But yeah, I had that in McDonald's in Ellesmere Port.
In Everton.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Mine is the term in the UK, miles to the gallon, or miles per gallon, because we buy petrol in litres. So if we want to work out how much we're spending per litre, we have to basically do some sort of clever conversion. So why is it not miles per litre in the UK? Any ideas?
Well, I'll add one more to that piece, because your gallon is larger, the imperial gallon is larger than the US gallon, because I had a spirited conversation with your dad earlier today, because he said, well, how many miles to the gallon do you get with your Mini Cooper, which I have, which I love? And I said, well, it doesn't matter what I tell you how many miles to the gallon, because we don't use the same gallon.
There we go.
More of a problem.
But why are things called the same size? Like I noticed earlier, there was pint US, pint imperial. Why is there two different versions of the same measurement?
Do you want to answer that?
Even clothing is the same, right? European size clothing is different than the States.
Shoe size is one size bigger in the States.
There's a lot of things one size bigger in the States, but I digress. So
even the size of a large milkshake is bigger.
Talking about clothing sizes, what's the point in slim fit? You get slim fit clothes
if you're slim.
No, but it doesn't make sense. I went to Asda today. I always buy quality clothes. I went to Asda and I was looking to buy a suit. I was saying normally I don't know what size I am. I've lost a bit of timber. Maybe normally it'd be a 46 for jacket, but I had to buy a 48 or 50. So is it slim fit essentially just...
It's cut of it.
It's just smaller clothes.
Slim jeans are for people with slim legs.
Yeah, slim jeans are for men that want to show off their junk, but I don't understand...
But I got a few small polo shirts, but I got some slim fit that I used to wear. But it's the cut in it.
It just makes me feel like I'm putting on, I've put on too much weight because I have to buy a bigger size like I used to.
So there's sweets.
Oh.
But I went to Next, I bought some shirts from Next, some free in a packet ones. I'm usually a 15-inch collar. Bought a 15-inch collar, but it was like a night shirt.
Yeah.
It was far too, they must think everyone with a 15-inch collar must have,
and again,
must be 8 foot tall.
Even in the UK, forget US for the UK, even in the UK there's not a standard size. In the Liverpool shop, I wanted to buy, as a nice shirt, and Double XL didn't fit. Double XL normally now is a little bit too big, but I would have had to easily have triple XL in the Liverpool shop, and they don't sell that. And
well, every manufacturer seems to have a different cut and a different version of what that size is. I think they probably can.
More than a gallon and a gallon.
My frustration is, your car tells you how many miles to the gallon you do, but it'd be nice to work out what the cost is per gallon. And you can do it. My dad can do it because he always used to do some long division or long multiplication to work it out. But
there's an app for you.
I'm sure there is an app, but it should be easier. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and it's not likely that you are going to go back to purchasing petrol by the gallon. So they might as well say, after 1975, your car should say, miles to the liter.
So are we saying that in the UK it used to be the price per gallon? I don't know.
I believe it was.
Oh, okay.
I bet your parents could confirm.
You were alive then.
What?
It used to be the price per gallon rather than price per litre.
In the good old days.
In the petrol station.
When you were a kid.
I didn't used to buy the petrol, did I? I used to sit in the back.
Did you open your eyes?
I would say I came to visit in 1971 when your parents got married, and I would venture to guess that I remember that it was by the gallon.
Okay.
There we are.
An imperial gallon is 4.5 litres.
Okay.
According to this units app.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
Lovely.
Thanks very much. Okay, so it's time to vote. So just to recap, Sean's was the way in which airlines load people onto a plane. Rich was something
impatient
about planes.
People,
impatient people.
After an instruction.
Yeah, after an instruction. Forthwith taking their belts off.
Not impatient people where someone is taking a long time too long and they're just getting a bit impatient is...
Yeah.
You just don't listen. They don't take instructions. They just do what they want. They simply won't listen to anything.
Always in a rush for no reason.
Mike's?
Cold air hand dryers.
Cold air hand dryers. And mine was the term miles per gallon. Sean, do you want to take a vote?
I'm fascinated by your miles per gallon based on my own experiences in that area. Okay. So I'm voting for Patrick.
Thank you. Rich?
Sounds cool. I'm going to vote for Pez because it is on the same line as something I said before, so, I obviously must agree with it at some point.
Okay.
So the fact you copied me didn't make any difference.
Didn't copy you, good. I'm voting for Rich. Not because he's voted for me, because I agree with that. Impatient people, literally, like you said, you land and you say, wait until we say you can take your belt off. Don't turn your phone on. Everyone's getting on their phone and doing it. Yeah. People don't listen. Yeah. People just do what they want. And that's why kids are such idiots nowadays.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to vote for Sean. Because that is also a problem, and you know I think that there should be some simple solution, or there is a simple solution, but it doesn't seem to work. So everyone's got a point. This has never happened before, I don't think. Let's, as the host, I will put myself out of the equation, and I am going to ask a question. Okay.
Is it a buzzer question?
So I have got the Great British Pub Quiz Book in front of me. Because I'm in my mum's conservatory, and I think it's they're reading on a morning.
Do a question where it has to be like a total, so we can all guess it and see the coaches.
Yeah.
Rather than rushing.
Okay.
Build the tension.
So that might take. Oh, here we go.
If it's about what movie is Scarlett Johansson made, we're not
going to
make it.
He's
okay. No, I'm just gonna pick a page at random, and I'm gonna ask five questions. And it's whoever gets the most answers. Here we go. So this is a buzz in. So just tap the table.
You
right.
Say your name.
Say your name. Say your name. Question one. A merino, M-E-R-I-N-O, is what kind of creature? A merino, M-E-R-I-N-O.
Is it University Challenge Pad? It's just a little tiebreaker.
Mike.
Dolphin.
No.
Crab.
No.
This is Sean. I will say arachnid.
Okay. No. I'm going to give you some options now. is it a camel, a cat, a llama, or a sheep? Mike.
It's a sheep.
It is. 1 point to Mike.
Well done.
You'll be first next. In the 1970s, who had a number one hit with Bright Eyes?
Rich. Art Garfunkel.
That's correct.
Wow.
One to Rich.
Done.
Number three. Blake and Crystal Carrington appeared in which TV...
Sean, go ahead.
You said Critch as well.
Dynasty.
Excellent.
Okay, there we go.
Or Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Yeah. In tennis, what is the name of the score given to 40-40?
Rich. Deuce.
Very good.
Very quick off the draw. Always has been. In Greek, in Greek mythology, who was the god of the sun?
Sean. Apollo.
Correct. Okay, so 2-1-1.
Three.
Ooh. You get three, did you?
Yeah, Dynasty, yeah. Art Garfunkel, and Deuce.
3-1-1. So, Rich, you win this week's Room of Doom. Congratulations. Okay. So, next we're going to do recommendations. So, Rich, I believe you have one lined up, ready to go.
Just a recap. Oh, it's a new series of Murder in Successville.
Okay.
Is it on BBC?
It's all all available now.
Just on iPlayer, is it?
BBC iPlayer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first one, which is Richard Osman from
Pointless
fame, the bloke who sits on the keyboard. He was actually very funny in it. Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
Yeah, Murder in Successville is a... It's kind of... they drop a celebrity in a make-believe town called Successville, full of celebrities, which are obviously people doing impressions of the celebrity. Somebody gets killed, and it's his job to help the... resident detective solve the crime.
Okay.
But he doesn't know what's going to happen or who's done the crime.
So it's a new series.
New series. Murder in Successville. Yeah, they're really good. Yeah, okay. I had Hillary Clinton, Bjork.
Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Or the real...
No, it's just people doing impressions of the celebrities.
No, but they drop a celebrity.
Oh, sorry, no, I've only seen Richard Osman so far,
right.
Of Pointless fame, so...
I was going to say, Hillary Clinton, blimey.
Wow, that's back.
Sorry, I thought meant the celebrities in Successville.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, Bjork got killed. She was at owned art gallery. Arsene Wenger was in it. Blah blah. So yeah, it's really funny.
Okay, Murder in Successville. Sean, what's your current TV film or whatever you want to recommend?
Well, interestingly, I have not yet seen it. But since I have been in this country, all anybody is talking about is Tour of Duty.
Line of Duty.
Whatever. Even better. Is it really Line of Duty? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Even better.
You've been searching for the wrong thing.
Yeah, no, no wonder.
See, in America, didn't they call poo duty, didn't they?
Pardon?
Didn't they call a duty or...
No.
Loan of duty is a poo, isn't it?
No. Line of poo, that's a totally different show.
That's what I was
going
to say.
So, think on Line of Duty, you're saying. Everybody on, and it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, and the new series is on BBC.
BBC, I think.
Yeah, I think it's BBC, or it may be ITV.
But everybody says it's excellent, so it's on my list.
Yeah, that is a good recommendation.
I'm sure in Wreck-It Ralph. Accurate.
The subtle nuances of American lexicon is not derived strictly from Wreck-It Ralph.
No, but Wreck-It Ralph. When Wreck-It Ralph first meets whatever her name is, little girl, he says, "I got this medal for."
And I will say that is a, like, if you were 6 years old, the idea of using the word duty to describe excrement would hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
so when you said line of duty.
If I was 6 years old, I would be rolling in the eyes.
You think that's a skid mark?
Okay, I will go with The Trip of Italy, the third series.
Spain,
the third series. I got that wrong earlier as well. I've only seen the first episode so far, but you can sit and watch Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan do anything, I think, because they are hilarious. All six episodes, I believe, are on Sky Go, on Sky Atlantic now. Just get someone's login who doesn't use it. Like, my mother's, for example. But you're only allowed one device. So, you need to find someone who's got Sky who doesn't use Sky Go, for anyone who's listening. That is very good. So give that a go. If anyone doesn't know, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon go on a tour of Spain.
And they think it's Italy.
and that's the real quiz. They go around and basically get to eat fine wines, fine foods, or eat fine wines, I should say, drink, and see the country. So what a winning formula. Mike, anything for a recommendation?
You've both stolen mine. Okay. I'll go with Peter Kay's Car Share.
Oh, is that back on?
Back on. That's on the iPlayer. I think all the episodes available now. There's only four of them, which is a strange show. But there's been two of them so far on TV. So
have
that's good.
Have you seen
all four? No, I've only seen the first two.
I didn't like number two.
Oh, ooh, I'll go back to that, yeah. Someone said the third one was quite good.
Yeah, three and four are good.
Apart from that, just to say that I've now finally watched all of Broadchurch, all of the series. Caught up with that, managed to...
You watched them all in quick succession? So that 1, 2,
probably,
3?
Yeah, probably within the last 2 months at most, month and a half. Watched all of them.
Which is your favourite season?
Well, series. Again, this as I was saying with films, I'd say the first one was the best. The sequels were okay.
Yeah.
Second one was still easily watchable, a little bit weak at times. Mm. And the third one... I enjoyed the cast on the third one. You had Hayley from Coronation Street. I don't watch soaps, but I know some faces. Hayley was the main character.
Her name's Julie Hesson.
Yeah.
Something.
Charlie Higson from The Fast Show was in it.
Yeah.
The woman who was in Trolley.
Lenny
Henry, yeah. It was good. It's always watchable, but I thought it was a bit weak, the last one. But I thought I'd managed to watch all of them and not find out, apart from series one. Because I said I'd never watch it, and then I found out someone at work said who did it, so I knew who did it in my mind, but
That probably ruined it a little bit.
Okay.
We were talking about...
Some cop shows, they can tell you who's done it right at the start, but it's how they work out.
Yeah.
Like Columbo. Yeah. Columbo was the king of that.
We were talking about Rob Brydon briefly, and I was quite shocked that you watched and enjoyed Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah, I'd say that was my first exposure to Rob Brydon in the States on Netflix was Gavin and Stacey, and James Corden, for that matter. And I thought it was terrific.
Yeah. No, it's certainly one of my favourites, and I think you guys both enjoy it as well. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of the show now, but Rich, you did have... Mike had a random question?
It was me.
Yeah.
It's only based on the fact I got a dog, right? So, as we know, we haven't all been there, when my dog goes out, it kind of barks at other dogs. Mm. And obviously that's a known thing, dogs barking at other dogs. So you walk past the house, you can see a dog barking at the window.
Mm.
I just want to know, are dogs racist? Because what do they always feel as if they have to bark at another dog? You don't. I know humans. Never race. Really, like we have a go. Like not we.
Yeah.
Some people have a go at different foreigners right. for no reason.
Oh, so different species of dog.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Different models.
I know humans fight, but you don't see every single person going. Yeah. But there's no dogs. They just constantly do it. I just wonder why dogs just always shout at each other.
I've got a small theory on that. It's because dogs are kept indoors, usually in ones. So when they see another dog, they get very excited and want to communicate. I mean, that's possibly an explanation.
In an aggressive manner.
Well, but they talk with a bark. They don't say, hello, dog, how you doing, mate? All right? They go, ruff, 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 ruff.
So that's one potential option. Anyone else got any other reasons?
Quite territorial, isn't it, really? Rather than...
Yeah, that's what I always think. It's establishing a territory. Although here's a fascinating side note. Cats will meow to a human, but not to each other.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I always assume dogs only think that it's territory deciding who kind of controls what their territorial bounds are.
Why I expect dogs, you don't see many, like I say, you don't see many other animals having a go at each other willy-nilly. You know, you see a lot of pigeons in town, they're not all shouting at each other, are they? They hang around together.
Okay.
Whereas dogs literally...
Yeah, I think they run around urinating on everything to establish what their territory is. I figure this is part of that same approach.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't see fish... Might eat him from meals, things like that. We don't see him having a fight.
Mike, anything from you?
I haven't got a dog. No. Nothing to add.
Okay. All right. Should we leave a final thought with Sean? Thanks for coming on the show, Sean. And we hope that you have a safe trip home tomorrow. And one day we will hear the Mitch Cash return, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I look forward to it. Well, I can tell you there's a small but strong listening... contingent and across the pond, so it comes across just fine no matter where you are across the world. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we actually have got a breakdown of our statistics. And
is that by gallon or by liter?
No, it's by, by ounce, I think. So we have 6 ounces of listeners in Virginia, which, I understand why we've got listeners in Oregon, California, and Utah, because that's where my family live, but Virginia... Interesting. If you are that one person or six people, I think we had 6 downloads in Virginia. If you are that person, please get in touch.
I still don't understand why we had about a week where we had 50 listens, maybe 100 listens a day. Like the other day, zero. It's gone down again to the good old days when we get back to get back 2 a day.
Yeah.
We had those, and I thought we made it then. I thought we got 50 or 100 a day is amazing. Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
No, and it's been very sporadic. And it wasn't just one podcast either. It was, it's like we had, 20 new listeners and they were all running through all the podcasts.
You've got like the top 10 listened to episodes in the last 30 days.
Yeah.
And even say number 9 is about 40 listens. It's where it used to be about 5 or 6.
I didn't know a friend of mine I know just through football.
Mm.
He did say he started listening to them all again because he was bored at work. So he said he's gone back to listen to them again.
Excellent.
Well, congratulations to that man. All welcome. Okay, right, we'll leave it there. Just a quick run round. Everyone say goodbye.
Goodbye from Sean.
Goodbye, everyone. And thanks for Sean again for being on our podcast again.
Yeah. Goodbye, take care, and safe trip back, Sean.
Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you again next week. Don't forget to what we've got coming up. I haven't nailed down a date, but as Rich said, Ian Matthews is going to be coming back on to talk about an upcoming the new album and his upcoming tour and just general Bristol banter. And we are going to Absolute Karting in middle of May. Also, we've been asked along to Absolute Karting, which is an indoor karting facility, as opposed to the West Country Karting outdoor facility. So we'll be able to see how they compare. It's on 2 levels as well, so that should be quite interesting, going up or down the ramp. Be quite cool. So really looking forward to that, and I think hopefully Mike might get involved in that potentially, but also Scott Jones. So we're looking forward to that, and tune in next time. Don't forget to like, share and follow. Cheers, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Best sequel films that we didn't mention were Captain America Winter